Alright, praise the Lord, James. So could we go to day one and read the verses there? Let's read them together.
Exodus 26:14-15. You shall make a covering for the tent, a ram skin side bag, and a covering of porpoise skin above it. And you shall make the board for the tabernacle of acacia wood, standing up. Ephesians 2:22. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Can we go to day 2 and read Exodus 26:29?
You shall overlay the board with gold.
Yeah, I guess we can go. 2 Timothy 1:7.
For God has not given us the spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober mindedness.
And then can we read the verses on day 4?
Exodus 26:23-24. And 2 boards we shall make for the corners of the tabernacle in the rear, and they shall be double the level, and at the top it shall be completely joined to a single ring. Thus it shall be for both of them, they shall be for the 2 corners.
Each board shall have 2 measurements,
parallel to each another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenants, and 2 sockets under the next board for its 2 tenants.
And then, can we read Romans 5:2 on day 5?
Also, we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and boast because of the hope of the glory of God.
And can we read day 6 on both the verses there?
And you shall overlay the boards with gold, and make your rings of gold as holders for the bars. And you shall overlay the bars with gold.
Ephesians 4:3.
Being diligent to be the oneness of the Spirit in the united bond of peace.
Yeah, can we pray read Ephesians 4:3
together?
So, can we all read the title together at the top? The boards of the tabernacle. Amen. Yeah, so this week we're coming to the boards of the tabernacle. And in the beginning, where it says that we need to consider how we apply this to our Christian experience, right? Whether we look from the bottom to the top or from the top to the bottom, right? And so the covering, which is the top, right, we see there's 4 layers of the covering. Fine linen, the second is goat's hair, and then the ram skin side red, and then the porpoise skin. And so this covering, which is on the top, this is what we view the tabernacle from, right? We go from the top to the bottom, instead of from Maybe from a human perspective, we would probably go from the bottom to the top, right? Because that's the foundation. But right here in our Christian experience, we start from the top, because right, these four layers, right? None of these four layers are us, right? These all signify Christ. And so, instead, right, we are on the bottom, right? We are the standing boards, right? So we are these boards that are made up of acacia wood, and we are overlaid with gold. And we see that these are the same materials that were made were used to make the ark, right? And this ark is a type of Christ. But so this shows that we are an extension of Christ, and we are the enlargement of Christ. So right, we have a share. Right in Christ's testimony, so that we can express this Christ. All right, so we see, right, that we come from the top. In our Christian experience, we start from the top, right? And so this means that when we first come into the church, right, it's not of our own doing, right? But it's actually right because Christ, right, He became a man and He died on the cross for us. And so when we come into the church, right, it's through Christ. It's through His redemption, and then we become, right? And then we become these standing boards in the church. And then we see, right, that the boards, right? They're each made of 1.5 cubits, right? And they come together to complete one another. So in the same way, right, in the church life, right, we need to make sure that we are individual, right? Because if we're individual, then we're only half of a board, right? And they give the example of service here, right? It's very easy in service, right, to have your own opinions and to want to do things your way. But then if you do that, right, then you're only this half a board, and then you aren't complete. So if we allow Christ to work in us, and if Christ is the base of our service, right, then we can be, right, then we can be joined together with the body, with other saints, so that we become a full boy. Then we come to the matter of, right, the tenons, the sockets, the rings, and the bars, right? And so we see that the tenons and the sockets, that these are for the standing, right? Because without the tenons and the sockets, the bars, right, they would be lying flat. Right, and if they're lying flat, right, there's no use for them. But because of the tenon sockets, which are made of silver, right, they're able to help these boards stand up straight, right? So these boards are vertical, right? And so the silver signifies redemption. And so the sockets and the tenons, right, they signify that, right, this is the base for how we stand in the church, or God's dwelling place, right? And you see, there's actually two tenons that are here that help keep these boards stand up, right? And these two, right, refer to our faith, right? So we need to stand by faith, and right, so in day five, right, the verses that we see is that we, right, in 2 Corinthians 1:24, it says that we stand by faith. And also in in Galatians 5:1 and 5:2, by Paul, it says, through whom also we have the access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Right, so when we're standing in the church, right, it's not by anything else, but by the faith that, right, that Christ redeemed us, right, that Christ died for us, and Christ shed His blood, and so this is why we are able to, right, stand in the church. And then we come to the bars, and then we come to the boards, right, and these, instead of silver, are made out of gold, right, and this gold is actually just signifies the divine life. Right, so the boards are made of two things. Right? They're made of acacia wood, right, which signifies the humanity of Jesus, and then it's made of gold, which signifies the divine life. Right, and so these bars and these and the boards, right, the bars and the rings, right, the bars and the rings, they signify the uniting. Right, so in order for me to, you know, be united with the brothers of Preston, Like, there can't be anything natural. Like, we need to have the like the gold, and we need to have the divine life, and we need to have the acacia wood in order for us to be connected in the church, right? So in the church, we see that there's these two matters that we need to, like, we stand by faith, and we also, right, and we also are connected with one another. And right, sometimes we feel like, you know, maybe we don't have enough faith, right? But actually, right, we have faith in the Bible. So there's two types of faith. Right? One is the faith that, oh, like, I have doubts about my Christian experience, right? But this is different from having faith in God's word, right? So although we may feel like, oh, I feel like I don't love the Lord enough, or I don't listen enough, we still have faith that, right, the Bible is real, right, and that, right, Christ's redemption is real, and this is the kind of faith that we need to stand on. It's not the faith of, oh, I don't feel like I love the Lord that much, so I don't have any faith. But it's the real and genuine faith is that, right, the Bible is real, and we need to, right, and this is what, like, keeps us steady. And I just to conclude, I enjoy the verses in Ephesians chapter 3. So, like, when I was going through this, I just felt like, well, I don't feel qualified to share about this, because, like, even, like, with the proper kind of faith, I feel like I don't have that much of that, right? Like, sometimes I come to the Bible and there's still some doubts, and, like, I don't feel like I have that much gold, like, and I don't have that much occasion wanted to, like, be filled with the saints, right? But Ephesians chapter 4. So chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 13 to verse 16. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God and of full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sight of men, in craftiness with a view to a system of error, but holding the truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation of the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love.
Amen.
And this just really reminded me of, right, what we, of 2 points of a winter training, right? That, you know, one, it's a process, right? And two, that we need saints who would grow and be mature, right? Grow into full maturity. And, you know, sometimes you may think, oh, like, I'm not there yet, right? But, you know, this is our final goal, right? That we could be these standing boards, right? These standing boards overlaid with gold, and those that also have, like, the silver, right, as its base. And so, you know, how can we do this? You know, we just come to the word each and every day, and we come to the Lord, right? And more and more, right? We will grow. We'll have more faith, right? So the more we know His word, then the more faith we have. So that, right, in verse 14, we're not tossed by these waves.
Amen.
And then the more we come, right, also the more gold is added, right?
Amen.
And the more our humanity will be more like Christ, right?
Amen.
And then in this way, right, we can be the proper boards in the church.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, just so now we're going to open to sharing, so you can share both about the morning revival and also about the winter training.
Eric's Fellowship.
I just want to share with you, I'm very thankful. Yesterday, I attended a glorious meeting. I don't even want to say it's a funeral service meeting. It was a glorious meeting of a sister. Some of you might know. Sister Catherine Wan. Amen. She used to be in Manalapan, and then she went to Boston, and then actually she was visiting one of her daughters in New Jersey. And two Lord's Day ago, she even attended a meeting at Church in Franklin, and she was introduced to the saints. And 2 days later, the Lord just took her in her sleep. Anyway, I didn't have any personal fellowship with his sister, but I've known her from the past. And yesterday at the meeting, all of the fellowship, the testimonies, I was just so touched. Not funny, but interesting how Eric shared that all the things that we are striving for, right? We're like, Lord, this is what we want to be, where we want to be. Yeah, it seems so far away. Sometimes even seemed like impossible. But praise the Lord. The Lord gave us testimonies to show us it's attainable. It can be done. And this sister, she was actually a sister niece. When Brother Nee was put in, after Brother Nee was put in prison, Sister Nee stayed with her the whole time. And they supported each other through the most difficult times and through all the persecutions. And then when she shared with her children, her faith simply came from the Word, just as Eric just shared. She even gave her Bible to her oldest daughter, saying that, you know, throughout all these years, it's the Lord's Word that sustained me. By continuing coming forward to the Word and to the Lord's presence. And then she simply lived out a humanity. I could not describe her in any other way, but she was a piece of cake of wood. Even because she was persecuted, even though she received very high education, has very good credential, but because of her status as a Christian and also her connection with Brother Watchman Nee, she was put into the lowest level of the among the people. And then she, once she was assigned to, for a period of time, she was assigned to do nothing but clean up bathrooms. Later she was put into watching over a factory full of used and old materials. But no matter where she was assigned to, she always did her best. The bathrooms that she cleaned was always spotless, and the factory that she was put to work at, everything was all the pieces, all the parts were organized in a very orderly way. And so whoever worked with her were just simply touched by her. And even the leading one, the person in charge of the factory that she was working at, the head of the factory, told his own wife, saying that if you can work even just one-tenth of what Catherine did, you will be very good. And he was a leading one, in the Communist Party. But the whole factory, all the people there, just simply respected her. Regardless of her low so-called social status because of her faith, but everybody respected her. And then her oldest daughter, after she retired, her oldest daughter was put in to take her place. She said because of her mother established such a great pattern there, she herself was respected. Well, she went to work. Everybody said, told her, praised her mother, and she told her how well her mother was respected, how everybody was touched by her. Anyway, and then she came to the United States, and then she was very fluent in English, so she served the older saints, she translated for them so that the saints who could not speak the language can have fellowship with the saints, with the English-speaking saints. And then she anyway, and at the age of 18, she was still driving saints over around, you know, to drive them to the meetings and all that. She, and then, you know, she served piano service. And the saints said, "You're too old. You really should rest." She said, "No, no, no. I want to give my every portion to the Lord." And during the meeting, there was one sentence mentioned, which I was very touched. My sister said that she definitely used every penny of her talent that the Lord gave her. Every single one, every penny of the talent that the Lord gave her. And then nothing was wasted. Everyone was fully invested and, you know, and then flourished with many of fruits. Anyway, I was thinking about her when Eric was sharing. I just really appreciate the Lord that, even though you're young, you probably think, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to reach this goal. But praise the Lord, there are ones who are already there. And, you know, the Lord is real. And then all this sister was, she's not at, like, very outspoken or whatever, but she just simply faithfully served. And she just lived out such a fragrant humanity of the Lord. And so wherever she was respected. And people can see the Christ in her. And I just really touch that. Yeah, when it comes down to it, it's really simple. Saints, we do need to come to the Word every single day. I mean, if we don't eat Him, there's no way we can be sustained by Him. If we don't, when we say we want to spend time to gaze on Him, how do we do that? By coming to the Word. The Word describes Him. The Word portrays Him, right? So we come to the Word, we gaze on Him. We come to the Word, we are fed. We are nourished. We're strengthened. We're sustained. So it's really that simple. Anyway, I just wanted to share this with you and say, amen. It's doable, and the end is glorious.
Amen.
I want to touch on the during the winter training, the first thing I often talk about the architecture was overlaid with gold both inside and outside.
Amen.
And the brother actually brought out the question, do you think our humanity is important or not? And then he was saying like our humanity matters because, well, he was saying because the whole thing, even though the acacia wood is overlaid with gold, but then the whole substance that actually sustains the art is still the acacia wood. So all this wood, they still need our humanity in order for the gold to be expressed. So the brother even brought out saying like, the gold, the acacia wood being overlaid with gold both inside and outside signifies the divine nature penetrating the human nature and resting on the human nature so that it may be expressed through the human nature. And then the brother was saying, like, so when the gold was, when the acacia wood was overlaid with gold, so when we carry the ark, right, the ark around, it was like, people will actually see the gold. So when we were actually living, we were actually the living testimony on earth. Mm-hmm. So that whatever we live out, people will actually see gold, the divine nature within us. And then I was touched on at the golden incense altar, the brother was saying, a lot of time we didn't really pray at the golden incense altar. We were praying in our natural realm. But then it's okay because we are all learning by praying. So just pray that. I was just touched that a lot of times we don't really know what the Lord has desired, but then by praying, by learning how to pray, we will be one with Him. And then we will be brought into the golden incense altar to pray for what is in His heart and in His heart's desire.
Amen.
Thank you.
like to share a little bit in the training the message I was talking concerning the urgent need in the Lord's recovery. There's the urgent need for the maturity in life. In the message about brotherly, the brother says how we can be mature in life. We really need to, every time when we come to the Lord, we need to empty ourselves, that anything that's preoccupied us. So when we come to the Lord, we will with a pure heart to see Him, to be separated with Him.
Amen.
And this divine life will increase in us. Although, you know, every time when we, but when if we come to the Lord with so many things, negative things, or preoccupied things, then we will not be able to be filled with the Lord. So so when we come to the Lord, maybe we just, you know, we don't have much enjoyment in the Lord. So really, we need to come to the Lord with this genuine heart and also empty our own self, so we can be let this divine life add into us. So when we little by little grow in this divine life, then we can be formed into the army to be God's testimony, to fight with enemy and to fulfill God's interest on the earth. I just feel how every time I just pray to the Lord, let me spend more time with you, and every time when I come to you, I really want to be saturated. It's very important. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to come to the Word of the God. God's Word shining in us, so we can be, you know, when the God's Word shining in us, then the, you know, light will get into us.
Amen.
And little by little, and we will grow in this divine light.
Amen.
We are really, here, you look at this picture while I'm going to speak now. I'm giving her a picture of the tabernacle, because the picture of the tabernacle is really a picture of us and God and the church life, right? So, we need to come and spend time with the Lord. First of all, we need to receive the Lord into our spirit. Before we come to the Lord, we're just, you know, regular people, you know, but God wants to regenerate us, and He wants to come and live in us.
Amen.
So that's why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross to offer Himself as an eternal sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they had to come and offer bulls and cows and all that stuff and put it on this altar. And this altar was the burnt altar, the bronze altar. Now, this altar is made of acacia wood, which means our humanity, right? This one was overlaid with bronze, and bronze signifies judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Lord Jesus was judged on the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to the Lord, we just come with an empty heart. We say, Lord, you know, here I am, you know, I'm here. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm here. I just offer myself to you.
Amen.
Right? Now, the Lord comes to live in our spirit, right? He has into the very depths of our being. And that is all the way over here, to the very end of the tabernacle. Here, God is here waiting. In the Old Testament, God was waiting for the priest to come in, offer the sacrifice there at that first altar. Then there was a laver. This was all mirrors and water, and the people came in and washed themselves from the dirt, from, you know, all the stuff. That means we wash ourselves from, you know, the things, the mundane things, right, of the world. Not necessarily that much sin. And then after we offer ourselves to the Lord, we wash ourselves in Him. We can enter. Now we can enter into this tabernacle. And there we have the bread of the presence. The table of the bread of the presence, where we can enjoy the Lord in the Word of God. We can eat and drink. That can be in the Bible. And then there's a lampstand that shines. It shines. And it gives us light. With this light, we can come in to the Lord all the way into the very end. to the altar, the incense altar. Well, we go into the Holy of Holies, and then we speak to God, and God speaks to us. And then we can offer for prayers according to what God wants.
Amen.
And it sounds kind of complicated, but it's really an experiential matter. Amen. See, God is here, and we're over on the other side many times. We haven't even entered. We're over here. God wants to come out of there to get us. What really touched me was that He's in the Holy of Holies, and we should be there with Him, but we're not. So sometimes we just stay outside, right? He, you know, we're outside, and God is calling us, and we're like, oh. So He comes out of the Holy of Holies to grab us, to come and get us out, to bring us back to Himself. And I really enjoy this about the connection of the two altars. So from inside, He wants to come get us outside. Come on, come with me, you know. Come with me and experience me. And I have some wonderful things to tell you. And He comes and He embraces us. And he just embraces us and brings us in, little by little. Even though we don't understand, right? We talk about the boards and, you know, we're supposed to be together and this and that. That sounds really complicated. But the Lord wants to show us all of these wonderful things. Most importantly, that He wants to bring us to Himself.
Yes.
He wants to talk to us and embrace us and just He wants to... He just wants us. He wants us for Himself, you know.
Yes.
And so He's willing to come out to bring us in.
Amen.
And then I was kind of confused with the different things and the boards and the pens. I just accept and bless and say receive and believe, you know. But this portion down here says, because we have genuine faith, we do not doubt the Bible. For example, we do not doubt that God created the heaven and the earth and us. Our faith is of true penance, and we are standing steadfast in Christ's redemption. Praise the Lord that we are standing in 200 pounds of silver. We do not simply stand upon the redemption of Christ, we stand in it. Our faith is firmly set in the silver socket of Christ's redemption. I enjoy this article. There are many Christian groups that we cannot see the proper standing or expression. On the one hand, those in this group are very easily shaken. On the other hand, they may or fail to express the goal. This, to a large extent, is the situation of today's Christianity. But in the proper church life, in the Lord's recovery, we have a firm standing, and we also have the expression of Christ. Even those who oppose us admit that we are unshakable. We have the silver socket and the golden expression. As God's habitation, the church must have a silver base and a golden expression. Not only is the church God's dwelling place, but it's also our dwelling place, our home. This neutral dwelling place of God and the believers is solidly grounded on Christ's redemption and rightly expresses the person of Christ Himself.
Amen.
And I just give thanks that I'm in the Lord's recovery today.
I was saved when I was a freshman in college. I remember that was in March. So, very following in that summer, I attended so-called college training. Right? I have no idea about Bible. Not much, right? Only 4 months old in a new life. So I remember very vivid talking about the Spirit, which totally blew out of my mind because I have no idea about the Spirit. The Spirit, the compound Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God. I have no idea. I said, what's the difference? At that time, the Spirit is not ready. So, all these years, right, of course, you know, I get into His Word. And more, this Spirit, just like, you know, the paint, keep painting me. Add a little bit later. Add another bit. So, in this, you know, winter training,
I really, really appreciate, and I also enjoy so much. I attend all 12 lessons, which is a long time. I've never been able to do it, but it's, you know, I was able. I enjoy so much, and especially come to talking about the spirit. I was, you know, so, you know, like, you know, the water gushing out, you know, from my inside. Oh, finally, I really understand all the difference at each stage, what is all the spirit about. And then also to conclude, the brother said, you know, the Christian life is all together, the matter in the spirit.
Amen.
It's not, you know, what he does. It's that we have to know who he is.
Amen.
All right, so now I really, really appreciate it, that the spirit, so this spirit, you know, in us, the last Adam, the word becomes the spirit. And then this spirit living in me, all his life, all he wants to do is teaching us to abide in him.
Amen.
Well, that word really, you know, struck me. Right. Abide in him.
Right.
Many times we just, you know, straight away. And the only thing can bring me back, according to my own experience, is when every time I come to his word.
Amen.
His word is the life. It's the spirit. Mm-hmm. It really nourishes me and bring me back.
Amen.
Like an Arab just said, you know, we are young. Our faith may not be that strong.
Right.
And many things, you know, will blow us away, or we are not, you know, standing firm.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we are not standing firm by ourselves. We're standing on his, you know, redemption.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, message today, again, we are standing by the faith. And in the faith, by this, you know, redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Christ's redemption is the fact,
mm-hmm.
which is not, you know, what you believe or you don't believe. It's the fact, right? Sometimes we doubt because we are young in our spiritual life. We're not, we don't have enough experience. So we always question it, right or wrong, true or not true. But when we come to his word is life, it's the spirit. And it can really make us anchor in this, you know, spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The only one who can be a Christian is the process of consummated training, God living in us as the consummated spirit.
Amen.
I just really appreciate this portion. It says, to be a Christian is not merely difficult, it is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Only the process and consummated training, God living in us as the all-inclusive spirit can be a Christian.
Amen.
What the New Testament requires of us is to find the kind of holiness required, for example, something that we cannot produce. We praise the Lord that it is not we who need to fulfill the New Testament requirements, but the Spirit in us who fulfills them.
Amen.
Instead of doing things in ourselves, we should simply enjoy His living and His working.
Amen.
Only the Spirit can be a Christian, and only the Spirit can be an overcomer.
Amen.
And I really appreciated being in that message last week. He was talking about the holy anointing compound, the ointment. And the brother mentioned something in the beginning. He said, my name is an ointment poured forth. And I just appreciate, actually, when we call on the Lord's name, it's an ointment. It's not just, a lot of times we talk about when we call on the Lord's name, we get this person.
Yeah.
Because when we call somebody, you know, then they come.
Yeah.
But I also appreciate, actually, it's an ointment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ointment. There are all these ingredients. There's the ointment in Exodus 30 has all of these ingredients. And it's a picture of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, there's cinnamon, there's calamus, there's acacia, and what's the last one? And myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I just appreciate it, actually, what these pictures are of, you know, the precious death of Christ. And I was saying how myrrh was used as a painkiller at that time to reduce the suffering of death. And it's like, sometimes we get offended by people, so we need to call on the Lord.
Amen.
When we call on the Lord, myrrh is applied, right, to take care of, you know, that pain that's in our being.
Wow.
And even sometimes, you know, sometimes we might be in we feel like we're in a death situation, but something shooting forth, you know, out of that death situation, that's like calamus. And so he also mentioned there was one verse in Lamentations, and it was talking about how I called upon thy name in the lowest pit, right?
Yeah.
I not that I something that like breathing it, like hang out yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to, he was saying how sometimes we get, okay, so last week was the first week I was allowed out of the house after having this baby because of the Chinese confinement. And I finally made it here and I missed the table meeting. You know, I didn't make it in time for the table meeting, that was just, you know, but I made it for the message, and I just, it was like a, it was a very timely word, because, anyways, he was talking about in conversation, sometimes we just feel like we're in the lowest pit. Let me tell you, those 4 weeks, sometimes I felt like I was in a very low pit, because you're just stuck inside the house, you can't go out, but to go to the doctor, it was just like very isolating. Actually, he said, he also said in the message that Paul was, when he was in prison, he was actually never isolated from the body. I was like, that, Lord, I have not yet experienced that. But, you know, when we, he said, we don't analyze where we are, we just call, you know, we just breathe, you know, it's like, when we're in the lowest pit, we breathe and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And all of the spices, which is like everything that the Lord has gone through, died, and resurrected, it becomes our experience.
Amen.
And so I just appreciated, you know, it's the Spirit. And that Spirit is so available through our calling on the name of the Lord.
All the furnishings in the tabernacle is not for our doctrinal understanding, but it should be for our Christian experience. And if you were in those messages at, in the semi-annual, you went through a journey, a bullet train journey through all the different stations, right? And every station there was a particular experience of Christ there. And so this past week, you know, we're on this matter of the boards of the tabernacle. And, you know, in the past, I often, you know, sometimes when we share about the boards, we always use that as an illustration that, you know, it's 1.5 cubits, you know, and so that means that I need Brian, you know, to go on, you know, because without Brian, I will fall. But it's true. That is absolutely true. We need companions in the church life. Without one another, we are incomplete. But this time, I particularly enjoy the sockets and the tenons. And so it's kind of hard to picture this, but you have this board, and it's standing. First of all, it's called a standing board. And that's because it's there as a testimony. You know, if you imagine we have like all these boards and they're lying down, and Eric touched upon this, there's not much of an expression, there's not much of a testimony. But because these boards are a testimony, and actually they're made of the same material as the ark, which is a picture of Christ, so that means the standing boards, they are the enlargement, the expression of who Christ is. But if they're lying down flat, there's not much of a testimony. But my point, my enjoyment this past week, and it also kind of includes the speaking from the training, is that those boards are standing on what? Silver. And silver is a type of Christ's redemption. Brothers and sisters, this is a marvelous fact. The boards are not standing on their own merits, out of their own strength, because we did something good to deserve,
right,
to even be called the testimony of Christ. But it's, they're standing upon Christ's redemption. And this matter of Christ's redemption was really brought out during the training. And I just want to go back to Romans. And, you know, and Paul there, you know, in the beginning, of course, he's talking about, you know, the situation of basically the all people, every sort of person. You know, he brings out, you know, ones who are unbelieving, the ones who have denied the existence of God. And then he comes to this point where he wants to bring us to see that this is basically his concluding word, that all have fallen short, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is the summary. And if you look at the entire world, you even, I mean, just look at ourselves, right?
I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And I've fallen short. You know, I used to think that all, well, that applies to unbelievers.
Yeah.
But all means all. That means everyone. That means me. I need to look at the mirror. You. I have fallen short. I have sinned and I have fallen short of the glory of God. And what does it mean to sin? It was defined that means you offend God in His righteousness, holiness, and glory.
Right.
Our thoughts, you know, how many are our thoughts all the time? Is it holy? Does it always express God all the time? Our interaction with our family members, when I wake up in the morning, or even worse, in the middle of night because of a crying baby, or because my wife is really tired and she needs me to help her out, do I always express? Is there the manifestation of the glory of God? That's just me. I don't know about you all. But, hallelujah, there's good news. It doesn't end there. Verse 24, it goes to this verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we have hope today.
Amen.
Because of the redemption of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We can be justified today because of what the Lord did on the cross.
Amen.
This is a marvelous fact. So now our standing today is upon this redemption.
Amen.
This very redemption, that very act that happened, you know, we thought 2,000 years ago, but that is so real. It's for our application today.
Amen.
And so in one of the messages, Brother was speaking on the matter of the bronze altar, and we know that's a... that's something in the outer court, and it signifies God's judgment of Christ. And I just, you know, the altar, I just share a little bit. Hopefully this will whet our appetite to get into these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the altar, there is a grating there. And that grating is not on the outside, but it's actually on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that grating signifies God's judgment on Christ, not on the outward way, but actually even in His inward parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things, you know, when we think about Christ's redemption, we just think of, you know, the Lord being crucified on a cross, the pain that He suffered, the lashings, and those are all, you know, when you consider that, those are vivid matters that that touches us. But the matter of redemption, there are aspects of it that we don't even understand. Because in Psalms 22, verse 14, there's a verse there. It says that my heart, talking about Christ, was like wax, and it melted. It melted. So when the Lord was on the cross, He was going through certain sufferings that we will never fully understand. That touched me to the uttermost. Brothers and sisters, we cannot be here in a loose way. The Lord's table meeting cannot be something ho-hum, oh, it's another, you know, we do this every Sunday. We need to realize, we'll try to even realize, to comfort and, you know, to understand what the Lord did. His redemption allows us now, it says later on, that redemption, right, which is in Christ Jesus, as God has set forth as a propitiation place. So today, now, our standing is this propitiation place. We could be brought, like our sister was saying, the Lord went out, right? He died on the cross to bring us in. So now we could stand there in front of the ark in the Holy of Holies to meet with God. To have fellowship with God, to enjoy God. And again, it's not because of our own merit. It's not because I'm a good person. No, it's because of Christ's redemption.
Amen.
Wow!
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to tie it all together. For the demonstrating of His righteousness, that in His forbearance God passed over the sin that had previously occurred. back to that verse, whom God set forth as a propitiation place, and I just want to emphasize this next phrase, through faith in his blood. I think this really ties everything together. Through faith. It's all by faith. And I think this was brought out. So if you look at the standing board, right, you have the socket, which is redemption, and you have the two tenets, and those signify the complete faith of the believers. So how can we, you know, how do we apprehend, or how can we realize all these different experiences of Christ? It's through faith, right? When we believe, it's just like, you know, the picture of the children of Israel, you know, when they were experiencing the Passover, they believed, right? You were, and that faith is in Christ Jesus. When you were in that house, right? You could be the worst of the worst, or you could be, you know, whatever. But it didn't matter, because there was the faith that what they did, right? The putting the blood on the doorpost, right? That was going to save them from the judgment that was upon all of Egypt. So when we believe, when we turn to our spirit, right, we are able, right, to stand firm in the Lord upon his redemptive work. And then, of course, enjoy all that he has prepared for us. So anyways, I just appreciate it. Sorry I was going for a long time. That song that we sing so many times on Lord's Day. How wonderful redemption is. My gracious Lord in thee. Not seen. This really touched me. This next line. Not seen, nor heard, nor ever conceived what thou hast done for me.
Amen.
I think we should kind of sometimes ponder on that. Not seen, nor heard, or never conceived.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters,
amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
What the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
That we could be here today.
Amen.
That we could stand together. And in the verses say, right, we could stand and boast.
Amen.
What gives Paul such confidence, right? To stand and boast. It's because of what the Lord has done.
Amen.
And he touched it, right, in his spirit through faith in Christ Jesus. So, hallelujah!
Amen.
Today we could declare,
amen,
we are the testimony of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We're here as the standing boards of the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I was very touched by Shifra's sharing about a silver socket. When I think about this, actually I think the Lord really gives us a vivid picture of the tabernacle. But you know, I was confused. I thought that, you know, Lord, why do you develop so complicated things? Why not just use wax? You know, they can fly in the air, you know, and everybody can see the gold color shining. And but you know, and actually God's will is higher than our will, right? Actually, if you look at all these materials, they are pretty heavy. You know, actually, some people, they estimated the cost of the whole tabernacle is like $60 million, whatever, you know. But you can see that actually this is a very, I don't know how to say that, very complicated design. And actually, each part has its significance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think about our Christian life. I was very touched by the message saying that, you know, sometimes we are like jellyfish. You know, we don't have backbones, and you know, we really cannot express anything except for ourselves. You know, lying down, you know, relaxing, you know, doing nothing. That's our life. But actually, these boards, these are standing boards, and it's not like just one board. Well, one half board. You are also a half board. And there are a total of 48 standing together. And actually, you know, we are not just standing on the dust, on the earth. We're actually standing, you know, it's like two hands, I don't know how to say that, you know, two tenants, you know, standing, you know, on a socket. And imagine those silvers. Actually, the silvers, they are not like light.
they're witty. Really meaning that, you know, actually our the redemption is really, you know, secure, so that we can stand upon the socket. And then actually on our back there are rings. There are golden rings for us to unite together. So it's not like I stand on a solid faith. It's also that we are united together, you know, and we are united by the bars, right? I think this is really a vivid picture of our church life. You know, I remember last time I shared that, you know, when I talked about young people service, sometimes I was very frustrated. And I found that, and yesterday Shepherd and Joe were there, we were fellowshipping about, you know, I think if for a service, if only one person or two people doing the service, I personally think that it's a failure. You know, if I serve with Brother Kyle, you know, this is our private business. Every time we just come together, you know, one half board and one half board, just one board standing together. What is that?
Yes.
You know, the Lord actually wants more people to serve Him. So every one of us, no matter, you know, I know that, you know, we are older, you know, every generation you are younger, but our portion is unique. It's very important.
Amen.
You know, we can all come together to serve together. We can serve young people. We really need more college students to spend time with young people. You know, we all have our portion so that we can stand up together to express the Lord.
Amen. So the topic of this 1 minute just remind me, I have something to announce later. I'm afraid I forgot. So every time I share it, remind me. So today's topic is on the doors of the tabernacle. So these two things, these two terms are all very important. One is the boards, and one is the tabernacle. And, you know, Brother Sergio will help us to, you know, group a picture of tabernacle, okay, to show you. So these are actually the coverings, four layers of covering. So from outside, you cannot see the boards. You can only see the coverings, and these four layers of coverings typify the humanity of Jesus. And I was very touched by this week's message. You know, a few years ago, I still remember once a sister Ping and I, we are in a very heated debate concerning what is the boards, the standing boards. She said that's a stand for our humanity. I said, no, it's Christ's humanity, not our humanity. Actually, both are right. But our humanity have been transformed in one way, Christ's humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are in college here, even when we haven't been entered into the church life, I think we really like a jellyfish.
Yeah.
In Chinese, there's a term called rotten wood. Rotten wood that no one can carve on it. Right? You carve it, just become ashes, something like that. And I think we are just like rotten wood. But now, you know, tabernacle actually typifies God's dwelling place. And that's in the Old Testament. But today, the church is God's dwelling place. And we are these standing boards. You know, standing board need to be strong, need to be solid, right? And, you know, I have been wondering why. I always, when I first read this standing board, I just think it will put like this way. You know, you look at the, because we cannot see the board in this picture. If you take this covering away, you'll see this all the four are standing together. There's no gap. So if there's no gap, it's no difference you put this way or put this way, right? If the size is correct. But why we need to be standing, not lay flat, right? You can left lay and make the same size, right? But no, the standing ball need to be stand, need to stand. Because then that will show how strong this board is.
Yes.
And it stands just like a brother Shepherd said. How it stands, it stands because there's a two tenants for each board that signify our faith. Then it's put into the socket, the silver socket, that signify Christ's redemption. So on one hand, we need to, our humanity need to be transformed.
Right.
You know, on the other hand, no matter how our humanity be transformed to like the Christ humanity, we always still need His redemption as our base. And not only we need the base, we always need His covering.
Yeah.
It's four layers of His humanity. You know, if you want to review what is the four layers. The first layer is signify His perfect humanity. The second signify His redemption, right? And His make sin. Yeah. And the third layer signify His become our peace with God, right? And the fourth, you know, is a very strong animal skin that protects us. So that makes the whole tabernacle as the church. And we are, you know, in the outside in the world, there are very large companies, they have very brilliant people, they have very gifted people, but they kind of material cannot be put into the church body. Okay? No matter you think how strong they are, they're not belong to the tabernacle. And we, as the building material of the church, we are not belong to anywhere else too. So we need to see this picture that look, the God's heart is actually all on this tabernacle.
Amen.
And then we today we are His, we need to be His testimony.
Amen.
And we need to be have this vision. We need His daily transformation on us. And we always need His redemption and His covering. And we so we can be one with Him, we can be His testimony on the earth, and we can move together with Him. So I just have you know, I like to echo Eric from the beginning that we know we are totally not there yet. Right? We are short of you know, we are in the process to be transformed. But we know, we need to know where is our destination, right? What the Lord put us here. We need to be transformed day by day. So we don't lose our heart. We have a glorious purpose on this earth. And so even this year, we hope the Lord grow more in us, transform us more, so we can be His instruments. The announcement, I think maybe Sister Ruth knows more. You know, we have a couple, a brother and sister, Kezia and Wilson. They are moving into a new apartment this afternoon, 1:30, just nearby, about 7-8 minutes drive from here. And they have a heart. When they're moving, they like to have some of our saints to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
So 1:30. So whoever you don't have any other obligation, you have time, I encourage you to spend some time. We go there to pray for our brothers and sisters. Amen.
They really have a, especially Sister Cassia, she really has a heart that their new home can be for the Lord.
Amen.
And so that it can be opened up for the saints.
Amen.
So, and we know that they have struggles and back and forth, you know, that Dr. Steve is staying with us all 3 months. Anyway, so they really would like to. I think this is also kind of an Indian tradition. When you moved into a new house, you want to, you know, bless it.
Yeah.
Well, we want to bless it.
Hallelujah.
Finally, way. Amen. And so, it, because it's so close, and then praise the Lord, even though her job is in Bridgewater, she still has a heart to have having to be in the church life and here. So the apartment is very close to the meeting hall. So even if we are in the middle of cleaning up, we can just go there for 10 minutes, praying, and we can come back.
Yeah.
To finish up whatever we need to do. So whoever can go. The address is...
I have the address. I will read this.
Amen.
267B. Pleasant View Gardens.
We thank you for your design.
Amen.
We thank you for your picture.
Amen.
The tabernacle with the board.
Amen.
Lord, you give us such a clear picture of what you desire.
Amen.
And of where we will be going in the eternity future.
Amen.
Lord, we tell you we like to give this year to you.
Amen.
And to give everyone in this room.
Amen.
And to give you all the saints throughout the recovery.
Amen.
Lord, that we could incline our heart to you.
Amen.
That you would transform us.
Amen.
That you overlay this acacia with humanity.
Amen.
Layers of gold.
Amen.
But not only so, we would realize that everything is dependent upon your redemption.
Amen.
So the worth of which we cannot know now.
Amen.
Lord, we tell you we love you.
Amen.
And we thank you for your picture.
Amen.
That we're not here just here temporarily.
Amen.
But ultimately with this tabernacle
will
end up in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Thank you, dear Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you.
Amen.
You have laid a solid foundation.
Amen.
With your redemption work.
Amen.
A wonderful redemption.
Amen.
That we can stand on.
Amen.
Built up together.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for your desire that you want to meet with us.
Amen.
You want to speak to us.
Amen.
You want to infuse yourself into us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we're open to you this year.
Amen.
Amen. You're speaking.
Amen.
Shining.
Amen.
To the walking at the ground. Labor.
Lord,
continue to grow in us.
Amen.
And we're open to you.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll probably write the address to describe it, so everyone what is it that part of the